Hey, hit me!
Are you ready for the deadliest news, issues, comments, and people? Well, on now is National Talk Black with Trendy Trev, going live from BBM through the National Indigenous Radio Service. Give us a call now, 1-800-422-416. National Talk Black with Trendy Trev.
Good morning, you daily mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev Murray from the Curry, coming live from the Cairns Convention Centre, down here at the 3rd International Indigenous Health and Wellbeing Conference, proudly sponsored by Lewitja Institute and Truth Rights Response. And speaking of the Lewitja Institute, we do have the chairperson, Solomon Button, comes for a yarn. Very good morning. How are you, Solomon?
Yeah, good, thank you. Thanks for having me.
Thank you very much for coming to the program. Before we start, Solomon, let the mob know who you mob, where you from.
Yeah, no worries. So I'm a Queensland Murray. I'm Goongri from Western Queensland, but I grew up down at Cherbourg.
Cherbourg, all right, brother. Fantastic. How long have you been the chairperson of the Lewitja Institute?
So I've been the chairperson now for a couple of years.
Enjoying the journey?
Yeah, enjoying it. Had a good apprenticeship, sitting next to Annie Pat Anderson, who was the chair prior to me on the board for,
So the training wheels are off.
Yeah, the training wheels are off. Now all the pressure's on.
And let's talk about the Lewitja Institute. Congratulations, it's a fantastic conference here, 3rd International Indigenous Health and Wellbeing Conference. A very important space, yeah. And getting our mob together in the health and wellbeing industry.
Mm. Yeah, look, and it's an important event for us to hold. We haven't had one since COVID for a while. Pandemic sort of interrupted things, but the good thing about coming together, and the reason why we went international with the conference in the first place is that when we start to look at health and wellbeing issues for our own mob here in this country, those same issues are shared with our cousins in New Zealand or in Aotearoa, and they're shared with our cousins over in the US and Canada as well. And so it was about, how do you bring those guys together to then have some conversations about similar issues, and how do we overcome those challenges together? So then it becomes more of a global effort. So it's not just something that we have to focus on trying to do ourselves in Australia. We can say, well, these are the issues that we're facing in terms of closing the gap. These are the health priorities that we can see and what's coming out of the research. How do we share that knowledge? How do we make sure, even going back to some of those traditional ways, our traditional way of doing things is sharing information. We're very much, you know, we come from, I guess, a culture which is very much about passing on knowledge and sharing information, and that's what we want to do with the conference.
And so if you look at it, the conference is a big yarning circle, you know what I mean? All health organisations across the state, country, are getting together and sharing their ideas.
Yeah.
And when you're talking about closing the gap, and you're talking about First Nation people across the globe, as you said, it's the same situation. We are way behind compared to our non-Indigenous counterparts.
Yeah, and that's the thing that we've found when we started the work. And even when we're running conferences just here in our own country, just for not an international conference, we invited international speakers. And when we were inviting those international speakers in the early days, when we were first running conferences, we figured out pretty quickly was that when they talked about issues that were happening in their own countries, it was the same stuff.
Mm.
And when we looked at research that was happening in their countries, that was being, and how it could be better led by community, and how we could get more improvement if we had a community organisation that was running the research agenda, they were grappling with the same issues. And so that's been the journey for us, is not just bringing people together, have the conversation, but how do you change the dynamic of the research institute itself, which the Lowitch Institute, which is now a community controlled organisation.
Yeah, fantastic. So when you look at it, the work that needs to be had is across the globe, and we need to get it together. We are in the 21st century, and things haven't changed.
No, things haven't changed. We've still got a long way to go. But what we do know is that we've got now, over the last 20-odd years of the Lowitch Institute, what we've been able to do is to make sure we focus on community-based research and focus on priorities that community is setting, not on priorities that researchers are setting. And the difference in doing that is what we've been able to do is to grow the body of knowledge that community want to know about how they can improve themselves, and about how do you take research to that, can then be translatable in local communities. And in addition to that, it's then about What does it look like to build the research, I guess, capability of our own mob? And the other piece of the Lowitja Institute in that regard has been actually funding PhD scholarships.
Yeah.
And so a lot of the researchers that have turned up to this conference here who are based in this country have come on the back of, been provided with scholarship and opportunities through the Lowitja Institute, and now they are researchers in their own right.
Yeah, fantastic. And when you look at the keynote speakers at this conference, I mean, looking at Andy Marcia, who spoke earlier, and she talked about, which is front and centre, the elephant in the room, we're talking voice to Parliament, you know, and she spoke so strongly about the Constitution, which was written back in 1901, and that was written back then, it hasn't been changed since, and that was a racist constitution, so today it still stands as a racist constitution.
Yeah.
So it's good to have that at the table as well when you're talking health,
because
we're talking about our people moving forward, and we're talking about generational trauma. We still carry that, don't we?
Absolutely. And that's been one of the biggest research projects that we've run through the Institute and funded, is activities where we've looked at racism in the health system.
Yes.
No one else was looking at it.
That's right.
The mainstream research institutions.
Well, no, but did not look at it.
They
because
didn't want to look
at it. They've been racist towards them.
And the hospitals themselves, they yes. weren't wanting to actually, I guess, poke the bear, in the sense that they knew the issue was there, but they didn't want to poke the bear to work out exactly the extent of the problem. But what we've been able to do through the Lowitja Institute, because our drivers are from community voices, that we can say, okay, well, now the research that we've undertaken shows that racism exists in our healthcare system.
Yes.
And not just to show that racism exists, that racism actually is a quantifier in health outcomes. So if you eliminate racism from the picture, health improvements can actually start to see things on the increase.
Well, step in racism, then you're virtually working towards a healthy community,
yeah,
aren't you?
Yeah. So it makes it plays a big role
sure.
in the health and well-being of our own mob.
And Lowitja Institute, I'm not afraid of speaking about that space.
No.
It needs to be spoken about.
Yeah, and that's certainly that is why for the Institute's perspective, we're a strong advocate for the voice.
Yes.
Just as Marcia. I mean, yes, we have Annie Pat as our co-patron, and she's been an avid supporter of the voice. She was one of the architects of the Uluru Statement. We've had Dr. Lowitja O'Donoghue as our patron, and she was the original chair of the organisation way back when.
Mm.
And she was also the chair of ATSIC when ATSIC actually presented the report to the Australian government that said we need constitutional recognition many years ago.
Mm.
So we've got those two elements, but the work we've been doing and the body of knowledge that we've pulled together over the last 25 years, which is actually about community voice.
Yeah.
The research projects that we fund and we commission are about capturing community voice that try and influence government and policy.
Exactly.
And essentially all the research and all the reports that we produce absolutely need a mechanism that can influence government on a bigger agenda. At the moment, we're getting some traction in small places, but if you actually had a national voice, then that body of knowledge goes even further and it changes policy and legislation for all our mob.
Exactly. So it creates a powerful vehicle for us moving forward, but a vehicle as well that non-Indigenous brothers and sisters can jump on board as well. We're all in the same vehicle heading the same direction.
Yeah.
Then we can call Australia, we are one.
Absolutely. Yeah. We'll eventually get there. And we've had many, and there's many non-Indigenous researchers that come to our conference.
Exactly.
Of the 1,200 that are here, most of them are mob, but we have lots of non-Indigenous allies that come along.
And
they're
hearts
in
the right places. They support us.
Yeah, and that's
why they believe in it.
And that's why they're here. And so they help us in that journey as well.
Exactly. Great talking with you, Solomon Button. Thank you very much, Chairperson of the Lowitja Institute. Thank you for this deadly conference, and thanks for coming to Cairns, bringing the conference to Cairns. It's great for employment for our mob as well as supporting this fantastic city of ours. All the best, and we'll yarn soon.
Thank you very much. And look, it's a no-brainer to come to Cairns this time of year.
Thank you.
It's a bit cold everywhere else.
That's right. My name's Billy, not silly. So well, thank you. All the best, brother. We'll talk soon.
Thank you.
To Delhi Mob, and beautiful yarn there with Solomon Button, Chairperson of the Lowitja Institute. And like I said, 3rd International Indigenous Health and Wellbeing Conference here at the Cairns Convention Centre. Like I said, in warm country, as someone mentioned out. But stay tuned to your daily program, National Talk Black and BBM 98.7 FM. We go via NERS, National News Radio Service. And big shout out to the NERS team. To Deadly.
Hey, Mister, you keep on taking. Vibration. Oh, I feel my body aching. give me that good energy, good energy, good energy. Stop taking it away from me, away from me, away from me. See, I'm getting tired of your shit. Just give me that good love. Hey, sister, sister, you just know they can't resist her. All that money, ain't it funny how they act? And I won't let you dismiss her. She's our mama, she's our healer. Keep on trying, keep on fighting, take it. Give me that good energy, good energy, good energy. Stop taking it away from me, away from me, away from me. Just give me that good energy, good energy, good energy. Stop taking it away from me, away from me, away from me. I'm getting tired of your shit.
Sebastian here, hanging up on our National Talk Black, your big yarning show, BBM 98.7. I remember the day.
My mother is a river, but the skipping stones, it'll freeze, come on, what you think of, Job. So shatter all the ashes, just trying to keep me broke. You break up all the truth, don't let it leave no hope. Tell me why you keep me running now. Till the dust, that ain't nothing now. Tell me why you keep me running.
Sorry, I have become the silence for too many times.
I have become the silence.
is Jessica Malvoy, and you're tuned into National Talk Black, Trevor Tim, Trendy Turf, Murray from the Curry via BBM 98.7 FM, also NERS, National Indigenous Radio Service.
Yes, very good morning, your daily mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry, coming live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns, Bama Griffin Media, BBM 98.7 FM. We go via NERS, National Digital Radio Service. And we're here at the Cairns Convention Centre for the Lewitcha Institute Conference, International Indigenous Health and Wellbeing Conference, Truth, Rights, Response. And good to catch up with Deli Mob here. Catching up with Mob, he owe me money. I'm so excited to be here. Look, it's a great opportunity to talk to Deli people. And I'm going to catch up again now with Jethro Rumor, CQ Study Coordinator, and Rockhampton with the UQ Poach Centre. And also he brought a bodyguard, Carl Honeysett, and that's Principal Research and Engagement Officer, Engagement Order. Very good morning, gentlemen. How are we?
Yeah, great. Thanks for having us.
Fantastic. Thank you for coming. Start with you, Jethro. Who you mob? Where you from, bro?
Mate, I'm a Gangaloo man from central Queensland. Pretty proud that I'm from CQ. It's quite dynamic, quite diverse. Yeah, really love working there and being there.
Fantastic. How long you been there, Jethro?
Mate, most of my life.
Most of your life. Thank you. Okay, there you go. Come out of Huggy, straight into the job.
That's it. Yeah, that's it.
Me... Carl, over to you. Who's your mob? Where are you from, Carl?
I'm actually Wiradjuri, so I'm Koori.
Koori.
Yeah, essentially.
Okay, we've got a big game coming up, brother.
Yeah.
Yeah, Suncorp Stadium.
Yep, better than AFL.
Yeah, thank you. There you go. No, that. I'm good to hear that. So, who your mob were you from, bro?
Wiradjuri.
Wiradjuri, you
do. Ties to Yuablong. Some history around Gundoblin and Leeton, Narandra, a few other places down that way too. So.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Principal Research and Engagement Order. A University of Queensland Poach Centre for Indigenous Health. So a very important space that you gentlemen work in. Talk about closing the gaps. We've still got a long way to go, haven't we?
Yeah, we really do. Look, if you look at the bigger picture, I mean, we've really only touched a couple of the main points, which is pretty disappointing, to be honest. Yeah.
Yes. We are talking 21st century, and here we are still fighting for closing the so-called gap, you know, in all facets of life. Look, great to have a conference like so, good networking, but also, we become a voice in the health health industry. We're having a conference like so, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's good to have a voice in the health industry at this level, and we've obviously got the voice referendum on the table at the moment. And that's been a big discussion here at the Lowitcher Conference today. We've had some really powerful speakers already talking about that. You know, it's really humbling to hear them talk, and as a young fellow, middle-aged fellow, you know, you think that you know quite a lot already, and just being able to sit down with some of the giants and titans in the space and realise how little you do know and how much there is to learn still, and what role we all play in that space has been really great.
Fantastic. And when we're talking about the truth, rights, response, and like I said, that is a part of health, because we're talking about our being, always was, always will be. And we have got a lot of hurdles to jump over, fighting for our rights and our existence. So having a conference like so, well, that's great for our spirit as well, as well as for the talk, the education, and the networking, and becoming a strong platform for the voice to Parliament. Yep.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it's nice to be at a venue and at a conference with other like-minded individuals, all striving for the same goal, which is to improve Indigenous health, but also to have more Indigenous people involved in the projects, involved in the research, and not just as many minuscule advisors, but actually, you know, as a part of a coalition, you know, where they actually give feedback, you know, they help direct some of the stuff that we're doing. So, I mean, that's probably one of the most exciting things about it, I personally feel.
Mm. And I notice, and as you will, you've noticed, a lot of non-Indigenous people here at the conference. There are a lot of non-Indigenous people working in the black space, you know. They're there for their profession, they're there for a pay packet, but at the same time, you can feel in their heart that they are for us and supporting us in regard to voice to Parliament. Mm. Would you agree?
Yeah, and you, I mean, you said before, it's about the spirit, and I mean, if it, black, white, green, blue, whatever, if you're in the fight, you're in the fight, and we need to be saying what needs to be said regardless of how that makes people feel, and if non-Indigenous people want to be in that with us and do that, then yeah, it's obviously very welcomed, and that can be humbling as well to know that we're not alone. And there's many people all over the country that, you know, are in this fight with us, and, you know, non-Indigenous and Indigenous, and and at the end, that's all that matters, is that we come together.
Yeah. Just like Carl said, I mean, it really reinforces the whole point of working together, you know, reconciliation, having the same goal. If we don't work together, I mean, things aren't really going to change.
Well, exactly. Things don't change. So we do need a change. But when we're talking about voice to Parliament, and there are some people who are against it, and my statement, well, if not this, then what? You know, give us a treaty. So either way, we need to be working hard to something at the table. Like, you're here for a conference, a health conference at that, and you're doing your JOB. But the talk about the voice is, as we heard that lovely speaker, the Karen Diver from University of Minnesota, spoke so very deep, so very powerful, you know, very powerful. And she talked about, the voice. We haven't had a conversation here at the table in the interview here, but with our networking out there while we're doing the job, that is the voice.
Exactly.
And we just need to continue that voice.
Yeah. It's an everyday conversation. It's an everyday conversation that especially our mob should be having, but also non-Indigenous people should be having as well. And not speaking for us, but allowing us the space to speak.
Yes.
It's just humbling to hear people talk. And like you said right now, this is part of the voice. Everyday people talking about the voice.
Exactly. And then you heard Ani Masia there talking earlier, keynote speaker, and she talked about the referendum. The constitution was written back in 1900s, 1901, and it hasn't been changed. And when it was written back then, it was a white constitution.
Yeah.
So that in itself is a racist constitution. Right. And we still run with that today in 2023. Yeah. So it's a racist constitution, is it not?
We're a colonized country. We have a racist constitution. We have an opportunity to change that. And I think those... addressing the elephant in the room like that can't be understated. And that's what this morning's been about, and that's what we're doing here now too.
Fantastic. Yeah, beautiful. So a good conversation there. And in regard to your job, gentlemen, and University of Queensland, Poach Centre, tell us about the Poach Centre and what you guys do there.
Look, the Poach Centre is part of the University of Queensland. It is the centre that looks after the Indigenous research. It is the forefront of Indigenous research. We're a part of that team. I am one of three people that look after a national study, and Carl has got a team of two based up here in Cairns.
Mm-hmm.
The overall goal really is to enhance, to get more data, improve Indigenous health through research.
Yeah, fantastic. So that's the study, that's what the study's all about?
The study that I work on, it's ending STI, so it's an Indigenous STI project.
Okay.
There's many phases in it. It's a pretty big study. It's going to take a long time to get to it. And we're lucky enough to be here at this conference to actually talk about our community engagement aspects of that project.
Yes. Yeah. Is that happening around the state, if not the country, this particular centre, what you guys are doing, Poach Centre? Is there similar vehicles as such that we're using?
There's a Poach Centre in almost all the states across Australia.
Yes.
Started through a philanthropist. And that will end very soon, and the centre's now established to the point where they're self-sustainable for the most part.
Yes.
Still, you know, relying on grant funding. But the opportunity there for our uprising generations, our young uprising black leaders to become part of Indigenous research is a result of those centres, including the Queensland one. So, the opportunities for scholarships and our emerging leaders to take on master's degrees and PhDs, which were never really possible for our people, have become possible because of these centres. And that's what has drawn us in, so we're proud to be a part of that.
Excellent. Yeah, we need more black successes in this country, don't we? And not on the football field. You know what I mean? So,
That's a good start. That's an opportunity to voice and talk about things and get things out in the forefront. But in terms of professionalism, we need more professionals. We need more doctors, podiatrists, dentists, nurses, researchers. I mean, the more faces we've got with professional backgrounds is only going to help our mob in the future.
And to our daily listeners out there who tuned into this daily program, National Talk Black, we're talking about being professional, but also having feet in both camps. Still strong with your culture, but still be a professional in the so-called white man world.
That is
powerful in itself, isn't it?
It is, and that's not a 9-to-5 job either, as we all know. I mean, you can't switch that off. And a big part of our community engagement is engaging with mob locally and being available, being there to support them, being able to assist progress their capacity building. Mm-hmm. You know, I think that's a major benefit to these projects is it's not just talk. We're actually getting out there and actually doing it for what we say, we're doing it.
Exactly. The old phrase, well done is better than well said. Yeah. Action, action, action. Jethro Roma, thank you very much for the yarn. Carl Honeysett, great talking with you both. All the best to you. Enjoy the rest of the conference. And look, we'll talk soon, are you, Mob?
Awesome. Thank you.
To Delhi. Thanks. Stay tuned, you Mob, to your daily program, National Talk Black, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry, BBM 98.7 FM, via NERS, National Digital Radio Service.
Try to keep an open mind, but it's floating in between the city lights. How can that be? Living on a rock my whole life, I can't stand dwelling on a thought like this. I need to show what I got to be better. Cause the good time will last forever. Well, I got something new. You gotta keep pushing to get where you wanna be. Do what you gotta do, be who you wanna be. Show what I got to be better. I need to show what I got to be bigger. What you did for years.
What you did for
realize
years.
If you go out of your way,
yeah.
Skip a few fears and listen to the rhythm chanting in your ears. Show what I got to be better. Oh yeah, I need to show what I got to be bigger.
National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416.
I'm created by the Most High, powerful host of angels in the sky. This I say, I know life. Cultural dancing be passed down from generation. Expressing my identity. This is a representation to my land and Coral Sea. Coral Sea, wo-yo-yo-yo. As we strike aim, hit the ground, feel the earthquake beneath your feet. My spirit's filled with strong belief. Feel the energy, yeah. My mala, too good.
good respect. Powder, this one power. People are still ya dancing warriors from the island.
Feel the energy.
Strike yeah, my bala, too good respect. Powder, this one power. People are still ya dancing warriors from the island. Yeah, stop him. Watch him strike him. You play be look.
Feel the energy.
How we gonna do it? Mob, yo, yo, they plug out energy.
Hit them up, yeah.
Masik, yo, you plug out energy.
You look there, Masik.
Saint Paul, yo, they plug out energy.
You plug out energy.
Saibai,
yo,
you plug out energy.
Strike him, wawa.
Badu, yo, they plug out energy.
How got there, wawa.
Danle, yo, you plug out energy.
Danle.
Daru, yo, they plug out energy.
Daru, yeah.
Mari Island,
yo,
you plug out energy.
Wawa style,
feel the energy.
Strike yeah, my bala, too good respect. Powder, this one power. People are still ya dancing warriors from the island.
Feel the energy.
Strike yeah, my bala, too good respect. Powder, this one power. People are still ya dancing warriors from the island. Yeah. Stop him, watch him strike him. You play be look,
feel the energy.
Too good, watch him, born to dance.
Feel the energy. Feel the energy.
My name's Jared Harbrow from the Gold Coast Suns. You're tuned in to National Talk Black with Trendy Trev.
1-800-422-416.
Very good morning, you Daily Mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry, coming to you live from the Convention Centre, Cairns Convention Centre, for the Truth, Rights, Response Conference Program for the Lewintia Institute. The third International Indigenous Health and Wellbeing Conference. Great to be here, great to catch up with Deadly Mob and have some deadly yarns. Speaking of yarns, I'm going to have a deadly yarn with the new appointed Ambassador First Nations People, newly appointed, and that's Justin Muhammad. A very good morning, Justin. How are you?
Oh, great, thank you. Yeah, it's good to be here in the warm weather.
Thank you, that's right. Pretty cold. This is our winter. Went to bed last night, electric blankets, Justin. So
it's very cold.
Yeah, the condition going. Right. Look, thank you for coming to the program. Before we start, who's Justin Muhammad? Who your mob were you from?
Yeah, so I'm Justin Muhammad. I'm my mob's Grangarang. Grew up and was raised in Bundaberg, just a few hours down the road.
Yep.
So proud Queensland, especially this time of the year.
Yes, we're on the same page.
So all my family, a lot of my family still live there. And actually, family live way up to Innisfail, which is not from here, right down to Brisbane. But yeah, moved down to Victoria when I was 20 years of age, mm-hmm. and moved to a community there, Shepparton, on Yorta country. Yes. And been working predominantly from Victoria, but also in Canberra over the last 30 odd years on local, state, and national roles. And very honoured to be in this role right now.
Fantastic. So, bit of background then. What work did you do before this new appointment?
Yeah, well, the role that I had before I got appointed into this role, I was the Deputy Secretary in the Victorian Government for Aboriginal Justice, mm-hmm. which had a pretty broad remit. We looked after the Stolen Gem Reparations Program, a whole lot of the justice initiatives down there, right through to the policy side of things and working across the broad department, mm-hmm. And trying to improve better outcomes in the justice area. But before that, I only had about 18 months in that role before this role came up, so it was kind of short-lived.
Yes.
I thought I was going to be there for a bit longer.
Quick chapters.
This role came up. Before that, I was the Commissioner for Aboriginal Children and Young People in Victoria, okay. And that kind of looked after, oversaw the child protection space, youth justice in particular, mm. education as well. So really, had a really strong insight. We wrote an inquiry on the over-representation of Aboriginal children in the justice system, which unfortunately the Victorian government accepted nearly all the recommendations. So that was really good. Cool. But that's probably the previous 7 years.
Yes.
Before that, I've been very much, they were my first sort of government jobs. Before that, the 26, 27 years before that, I've been all involved in the community control sector, in health, justice, education, and worked at Rumble, an organisation called Rumble Aboriginal Cooperative, CEO there, and just started that journey of representing the local mob, regionally, then the state, and then nationally, especially in the health field. So it's good. The role that I've got now, it's engaging with a lot of, the mob across Australia. So many of the new faces, but a lot of familiar faces that I've worked with in the past in that community control sector.
Yes, fantastic. So we're talking about being an ambassador, First Nations people, newly appointed. So just to confirm, was there a position here for this particular space, or they created one? And of course, good to have a First Nation person holding the reins.
Yeah, so the ambassador of First Nations people, this is the inaugural position. So the very first for Australia, and recently, about 5 weeks
ago. Long time waiting, I must add.
Yeah, it's been advocated a lot in some of my early speeches that I've made. It's talked about many of the First Nations people, our mob that have gone overseas and represented what's happening here without government support or their approval.
Yeah.
And I've had to come back to the wrath of that sometimes. And
so now you've got the authority to talk.
Now we've got the authority to talk. It's been appointed by the minister, which is the Minister of Foreign Affairs, which is Penny Wong. About 5 weeks ago, I was in the US attending the Permanent Forum on Indigenous Issues, and the 16-odd countries we met with, and can firmly say that this is the first position of this type in the world. So that's it's been really good leadership from the government.
Exactly.
A lot of responsibility, but a real genuine honour, and I'm really excited about, taking this and building.
See the passion in your eyes there, Justin. Fantastic. And when we talk about ambassador of First Nations people, that's across the board with all facets of First Nation people's lives, culture, and
economy. Yeah, it is. It's a broad remit, and I think we all know, especially in the mob that you're working in this field, it's a holistic approach, right, to improve the well-being and the health of First Nations people, Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people. So my remit is, there is a focus on increasing the our First Nations people in international trade, but there's also the climate, human rights, gender, health and justice, looking at the processes of treaty, truth and voice, other countries have gone through, what we're going through now. So there is a, and monitoring that and trying to build and present the truest reflection of what's happening on the ground for our mob, and we haven't had that always from the governments of the past. But in turn is also then ensuring that we our connections with the globally are also benefiting our First Nations people here through the areas we've talked about.
Yeah. One of your first engagement was a trip to the Torres Straits. I was lucky enough to interview just last week Uncle Apau, the chairperson of the TSRA.
Yeah.
Very excited to have you up there. Great for you to visit the area. The door is open for you to visit more often, as what he said as chairperson, in regards to the Torres Straits, climate change, and that's real, and the sinking of the islands. Yeah. I mean, the sea is rising. So very important conversation, close to his heart, of course, for his people.
Yeah, it was. Torres Strait, they were one of the first groups I spoke to in the first week that I was in, just on Teams meetings over the internet.
Yes.
We talked, got the invitation, and took that up, because I know it's a very important part of Australia. It's got a lot of real, day-to-day issues, but also that impact on the national dialogue that we have as well. So climate, you mentioned, the rising waters, but also the relationship which the Torres Strait has with Papua New Guinea.
PNG, that's right, and the trading going on there. Yes.
And the treaty that's between the two countries, one of the very few treaties of this kind in the world. So how that gets managed, and obviously what comes with that, the good and the bad.
Yes, yes.
But also understanding, for me to get a better understanding as well, learning about the kinship ties, the cultural ties between, you know, the communities along the PNG and the, the islands up there, and how that affects the rest of the Torres Strait, and then obviously climate, industry around what they can trade from there. Obviously, they've got some beautiful seafood up there, which I had a little bit of a taste of it. Unfortunately, a lot of places were sold out because there's a lot of people up the island at that time, so that was a bit of my disappointing
part. But you've got contacts now.
Contacts, that's right. Yeah, so planning to go back up there and definitely getting out to the islands and experiencing what's happening closer to that PNG and Australia border and that treaty and how it's going to be managed to. I think if we strengthen that, there's some really good learnings for us to take globally on what can happen up there. And
Why we
went up there, and we'll continue to go back on the open invitation that I've got.
Well, the chairman will be excited about that statement and continue to go back. So here we are at the third International Indigenous Health and Wellbeing Conference at the Cairns Convention Centre for the Lewitja Institute, Truth, Right, Response Conference. It's like I said, it's a conference about health and well-being, but the fact that our people are getting together, it's good networking, it's gathering, it's empowering, and we're talking about very successful people here at the conference, very highly educated black people, with feet in both camp in culture and regard to economy. So a great space.
Yeah, it is a great space. I mean, there's a number, also not only from Australia, but a number of First Nations people from other countries that have come over. The other day, I just sat in the foyer of a hotel and sitting down with a former advisor to Obama, a Native American woman who was...
Karen Diver,
who was chosen from her community to go and be a chief advisor to the Obama presidency. And just her journey and what she went through was a just great kind of hearing from that as well, and her quest to make sure, even though she was put in that very senior position, that she always wanted to make sure that it didn't lose sight of why she was there, and that was for her First Nations people, and building that together with the New Zealand brothers and sisters that are over here, and our Canadian ones as well. But It's great to have these gatherings because of what's happening in local communities and the expertise that we're having. I mean, you said, you know, very well, you know, how educated they are and smart, but they all of them come from such a strong cultural basis, and the reason they're in this space is because they want to improve the status of their families, their mob,
the people. That's what
and
it is.
Having that all in one space is pretty powerful.
Yes. Yeah. A very good yarn, Justin. Thank you very much for coming to the program. Congratulations on your position, Ambassador First Nations People, the inaugural one. So clean slate. So you can design your life how you see fit in regard to how you operate in this space for our people.
Yeah.
It's great to see. Well, you can't beat black on black, Justin.
That's right.
You know what I mean, brother? And that's where you're sitting at that level. We'll be having more yarns, I know that.
Yeah.
And that this vehicle's open as well for conversations. Yeah. And do utilise it. But Justin, thank you for the yarn and good luck with your endeavour, and lead from the front, my brother.
Yeah, thank you, and appreciate the time, and we'll be definitely up this part of the world again, and as I go around speaking to many of the different groups that we have right across our very deadly mob, you know, and the diversity that we have amongst our different traditional owner groups, getting all that knowledge and you know, building something new, but building it with the knowledge of what's happening amongst many of our groups right across Australia. So thank you for your time. Looking forward to speaking again.
All the best, Justin. You take care.
Okay.
Too deadly.
Thank you.
Stay tuned. Your Mob Daily program, National Talk Black, Trinity Trev Murray from the Curry, live here at the Convention Centre. But we come to you live from BBM as well, BBM, Bummer Brippen Media, 98.7 FM, via NERS, National Radio Service. And big shout out to the NERS team. Thank you very much. Too deadly.